glad you're here today.
No, you know.
Yeah, I'm really glad you're here today.
Yeah.
We are going to be reading from a couple of things today, that's right. What's the first thing you're going to be reading from?
Well, the first thing I'm just going to read a little bit from is my new children's book. It's called The Griffin of Greed. And this is a gentle fairy tale to teach children the value of the intangible. It is written for an age group somewhere between probably second to fourth graders or fifth graders, but if you are grandparents and you'd like to read it to your grandchildren, it also makes a great story for that as well. So the piece I'm going to read is a little, it's toward the end of the book when, so what happens is the Griffin of Greed comes to a local community and is pillaging the community pretty much, and so the king and queen of the neighboring kingdom call upon their son Prince Elliot to go out and try to save the community from the Griffin of Greed. He unfortunately fails and dies in the attempt, and they go through a horrible time where the Griffin is in control, and he convinces people that charity is not what they should be doing, and that instead they should be hoarding and, you know, looking out for their own best interests. So the king finally comes to an understanding that acts of charity are the thing that's going to defeat the Griffin of Greed. So we're going to start just about at that point. So where I'm going to start is just before he comes to that revelation. For those of you I see in the audience following along, yeah, we're going to be on page 15. While walking through the apple orchard with a new friend one day, the king learned that the Griffin of Greed held a terrific secret. His new friend told him that the Griffin of Greed could be defeated by random acts of kindness and planned acts of charity. His friend told the king, "The sunlight of good deeds always breaks up the fog of evil." The king wanted to keep his promise to return to the queen a better man, so he began to spread a new purpose throughout the land. He traveled the kingdom asking people to perform very small acts of kindness for one another. "Be careful," he warned them. "Keep your kindnesses small in the beginning so that you do not awaken the Griffin of Greed's rage." The people thought that this was good advice, and they did as they were asked. Soon, small acts of kindness were happening everywhere, and the Griffin of Greed didn't notice. He continued to sleep. "Now," said the king, "we need to make our acts of kindness bigger and do them more often." They did as the king asked and began to build their confidences once again. Soon they remembered that community, thoughtfulness, and not greed is what made their kingdom strong and free. The king, being tough yet honorable, felt it was important to take on two very large acts of charity himself as a way to show leadership to the people. He also thought it was a good way to show the queen that he had not been lost in the struggle. He had survived and overcome the sadness, and he wanted to let her know that she could do it too. On a bright sunny afternoon, the king welcomed into his house a small child, a baby girl. She lost her mother in the time of despair and was left on her birthday without a caring arm around her. He took her into his house and made her a princess. He named her Emily. He gave her everything she needed and showered her with kindness and gratitude, for her tiny spirit has sparked in him a new sense of purpose, understanding, and love. The Griffin of Greed felt this large ripple made by the king in the pond of its angry scum. It was injured from it. The smaller flows of kindness offered by the people added insult to its injury, keeping it soaked in the frustration of nagging niceness. Its gloomy poison was beginning to have less effect on the people. This made the Griffin of Greed crazy angry, and it took to the skies to spread its toxic spittle upon their houses. Some perished from the sting of its burns, but most took shelter in their homes. They shared happy stories and sacred meals while enjoying the warmth of love's fire, friendship, and freedom. After all its efforts, it had accomplished nothing. The Griffin of Greed became exhausted from its efforts and retreated to its cave in the mountainside, but never gave up on discovering a stronger magic that would help it take back control. So to read how the Griffin of Greed is finally defeated, you'll have to buy the book. Uh-huh. And you'll see then in the end that this is a happily ever after, because of course it's a fairy tale and it's for children. But the true message that I wanted to get across with this book is that we need to stop thinking about how much everything costs, and we need to teach our children that there's a greater loss in losing love, compassion, and charity than in losing dollars and toys. So that's what that story is about.
Well, that's very wholesome and lovely. How long were you working on this?
Actually, this book took me, I wrote the initial story one weekend while I was away with my husband on our anniversary weekend 1 year. And I wrote it in about 2 days. And it was actually part of the novel that is coming out in July, which I'll read you a little bit of. It's a piece that's actually part of the greater novel. And in working with my writers group at the Next Center in Birmingham, I read it to them, and they said, oh, that would make a great children's story. Hmm. So I took their advice, and I turned it into a children's story, but children's books are very difficult to write, and it took me a year to translate it from adult language into children's language to make it palpable for a younger ear and for a younger understanding. But, of course, that's not a year in constant writing succession. It's a year in addition to all of the other things that I do. But, yeah, it took me a year. And then it took about 3 months for the artist to finish the illustrations.
And okay. So this is kind of like a crossover story in sorts. And that if you read your other book, you'll sort of see this within that.
Absolutely. When you read the new novel and you get to the chapter called Griffin of Greed, you will immediately say, oh, wait, that's the adult version of the children's book. Mm. So there's definitely a connection there. I've never tried to do that before, but it seemed organic to build it out that way.
It's cool. It's like you're taking a page out of Marvel's book and cross-publishing your stuff.
Yeah, a little bit. It was a lot of fun to do. So,
Are there questions about Griffin of Greed right now? Yes?
Well, just a comment that I love the idea that little kindnesses, I think, for children to realize that they don't have to do something great or big for others, that a little kindness is good. And I have two grandnephew boys that I will share this with so that they can
Excellent.
And read. They're nine and 11.
This will be
so
a great story for them.
Good age. Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing it with the children. I appreciate that.
Great. Is there any other little tidbit that you want to throw out about the book? I love the cover design, by the way. It's really, whole thing actually looks like a leather bound. It's really cool.
That was intentional. What I wanted the book cover to look like was I wanted it to look like a leather wallet where you would find people keeping money. So I wanted to make that visual connection as well. And I worked for a long time in finding just the right art to deliver that message. And then the illustrator who did the interior illustrations was just magical. She did a great job. She uses a style that I hadn't seen before. It's a little bit akin to the old paper dolls that you used to cut out of the newspaper. So it has that kind of
layering
feel.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh.
Right. So it's a style that I hadn't seen before. She is a graduate from the Center for Creative Studies in Detroit, and when she did this work on spec for me, and I was in love with the first design she sent, and so she did the whole book. So I was very, very pleased.
Would you say like a collage type of thing?
No, it's more like she layers color and detail so that it almost gives it a more three-dimensional feel.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of fun to work with her. She did a great job.
Excellent. Well, Celia, did you have a...
So is the chapter in your adult book similar? Because this really has adult overtones.
Yes, It definitely does. And the chapter in the adult book is written with adult languaging because I'm an author who likes large words and deep messages. And so that's why it took me so long to translate it into a children's book, because that's a difficult, toning down my languaging and changing my lexicon is a difficult thing. But in the adult version of this story, there's more depth to the message. I tried to make it very accessible for children, but in the adult version, it has more depth and there are more, the consequences are more specifically dire than they are in the children's book.
Same general overall story
and same overtones. When you read it in the adult book, you're absolutely going to be able to identify it.
I love the adult book.